Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.
How many close friends do you have? And do you think you need more? They say that having 3 to 5 close friends is ideal, but you should have 150 meaningful relationships.
I think I could probably check those boxes. 150, it seems high, but I think that when you start, you know, including like your family members and different people that you're dealing with every day, and then, you know, don't overlook the people that you work with, I think you get to that number pretty easy, too.
Yeah, there's this epidemic across the country where people feel lonely and they feel like they don't have those 3 to 5 close friends that they can rely on and talk to. And I smiled because yesterday I opened up Dakota's the folder that they send home from school with all the stuff they did in the day.
Daily stuff.
Yes. And, you know, there's so much thought about how do you make friends. And I looked at this and there's a sheet. And it says, steps to making new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we would go through it because this is for a second grade class.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know what, before you even brought this up, friendships take work. And one of the biggest things I think that why we're suffering with so much loneliness and there's more on the horizon is people don't want to work at it anymore, right?
Well, and they don't want to talk. And we've become a culture where between the streaming services and a million different things to watch on TV and the podcasts and the being in our phones on social media,
I never have to find anybody to do anything with.
Right. But then you realize you really need that interaction.
Right. The me generation is by itself.
How do you make new friends? They have 6 steps here.
All right,
number one.
Number one.
Smile and make eye contact.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I think smiling makes a huge difference. You know what's disappointing? Sometimes when a smile doesn't make a difference, you walk up, right? You're trying to be, you know, friendly or helpful to somebody or whatever, and they're just not receiving it. But I find a lot of times if you keep smiling in that situation, you try and be kind and keep it slow, they will sooner or later loosen up.
I always say to Hayden, that's my older one, my teenager, you have to smile because you don't know who's watching you. You don't
Fair
know
point.
Who's like admiring you from afar, like, you know, like the resting you know what face.
Right. They're trying to figure out what kind of person you are.
Number 2, steps to making new friends, according to my daughter's second grade class. Say hello and ask their name. It's such an interesting, easy thing. Like, hey, like, I'm Anna. What's your name? And how rare that is anymore to do that.
When I was a young, impressionable man, Anna, I got some incredible advice from my friend Christopher Wallace.
Yes.
And he decided that it was important to let gentlemen know that they should ask people what their interests are and who they be with and things to make them smile. What number to dial.
Right. Yep.
You gonna be
questions.
Here for a while?
Yeah. That goes into number 3. Of how to make new friends. Oh. Ask questions to learn about them.
Okay, right. You're going to be here with your crew?
Yeah.
I can call my crew.
Then we can rendezvous.
Yeah.
Around 2.
I mean, later. Around 2.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Biggie Smalls. Also, share about yourself. Not only ask questions about the other person, but if they say, I love to go salsa dancing, be like, I don't, but you know what I like to do? And fill in the blank.
Counter it. Right. Give some good stuff.
Find things in common, Raven.
Well, through that conversation, you're going to come up with those joint things, right? You'll find shared interests.
And then the last thing to do if you want to make new friends, according to my daughter's second grade class in this paper, invite them to play.
I was going to say follow up is really important.
Yes.
Right? Because when you walk away from somebody, if you've had a good impression, they're going to be thinking the same thing. Well, that was nice, right? But then they're going to go about their life. You both are.
9 times out of 10. Even when you meet somebody and they want to hang out and want to do something, nobody ever makes that first move to be like, oh, you want to go grab a coffee? You want to go grab a drink? Like, what are you doing Thursday night? You want to go do this? It's so difficult to ask that because we're so prone to be afraid of rejection. But if you don't put yourself out there, how are you going to make any friends?
Well, you know, take these 6 lessons and let's put them to work.
Trending is brought to you by IHOP. Go to your happy place with the $6 IHOP value menu. Available every day at IHOP, $7 in some locations. AAA predicts that this year 81 million Americans are going to travel at least 50 miles for Thanksgiving holiday. A lot of them are going to drive, but today and tomorrow are expected to be the worst days for traffic.
Have fun.
And a lot of people flying in the skies, which brings me to this woman who has gone viral. She caused a scene, as to say the least, at a Southwest gate at Denver International Airport. Here we go. Okay, first of all, I heard this, and I'm watching her yell, and she's wearing a crop top and sweatpants.
Nice.
And she looks like a completely normal woman, and she's just screaming at the top of her lungs. And I go, did she just turn Shakespearean?
Mm.
Why art thou?
Right.
Why are we waiting here
how
thou?
How dare thy they do not...
Why are not we boarding? Can you tell me that I can't board now?
Why are not we boarding?
Why are we not boarding?
Yeah.
Because I question, why is it late?
Because I question, why is it late?
I mean, doesn't that end up with her being arrested at this point?
Well,
like, I mean,
because we have a schedule. Who's going to come and get you fired? Because this is not okay.
What does she think is not okay?
Honestly, the person at the front desk, the person at the gate is going to get fired because this woman has a schedule. This traveler has a schedule.
Correct.
And for whatever reason, you won't answer her question, so she's going to get you fired.
And it's this woman's fault that's just standing there.
It's amazing the power.
I asked you, why is our plane not boarding? And you told me that I'm kicked off because you have a full flight and you need to give the seat to someone else?
Yeah.
No, we know.
Yeah, well,
we know.
Then why are you still asking her for an explanation? If you know what happened and everybody around you can witness what's happening, I mean, I don't want that woman on my flight.
Of course not.
So
she yelled for 30 minutes. I was watching the video.
Bye.
And I.
How does she get to yell for 30 minutes? Are you serious?
Yes.
Can you imagine being anywhere where you're yelling like that out loud for 30 minutes and nobody shows up to stop you?
I was like, what is happening in Denver? I'm like, we should.
Right?
Why do they have 30 minutes to yell like that? And I'm watching the video, and the funny part is that there's this younger girl. She has to be a little bit older than my daughter, maybe 10.
Yeah.
She's just on her iPad.
The whole time.
Yeah. While this lady's screaming. And I'm like, is this just the norm? Are we just going to let this lady yell at things?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. And I was thinking about it. I go, part of me feels bad. I always feel bad. Because you don't know what's going on in that lady's head. You
obviously,
don't know what's going on in her life.
There's something happening, yes.
But
right.
I was in a similar situation. Well, not like this.
You better not have been. This show will be over tomorrow.
I was with three of my girlfriends in the car. We were at Target.
Yeah.
And we get into the car, and the woman who was parked next to us reverses and hits our car.
Okay.
We're still parked.
Yeah.
Now, we get out, and my girlfriend Rita is like, she's the driver.
I love that the three of you get out.
All of us get out of
Why?
The car.
Why are you all getting out? It's not your vehicle.
Because she went to go take off.
Okay.
She went to get off, so we jumped out to be like, where are you going? Because then she insisted we did not hit her car,
uh-huh.
And then we showed her, you hit the car.
Yeah.
And then, luckily, the sheriff department was having an event at the Target.
Oh, perfect. It's stuff a bus or something right there.
So I said, let me go get the sheriff. So I went and I got the lady cop who was so nice.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
She came over and she's explaining like what we can do, what our options are and all that. And the woman was so belligerent that you know what I had to do, Raven? I was going to turn into this lady. I was just about there. I went and I sat in the car quietly. I said, this is the time for me to go sit back in the car and mind my own business because otherwise I'm going to freak out.
Let's let law enforcement do their job.
Exactly. So sometimes I think, long story short here, just sit back in the car and be quiet. That's the long answer to that.
I guess. Okay. Did you go?
I went last night.
How was it?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I don't know why people are so angry about it.
People just like to get angry.
It's, you know, if you've never been to the second act of a musical, it's always disappointing as compared to the first. But you have to understand that that's what a musical is like a lot of times. But,
I mean, because they have to wrap up the story.
Right. They have to finish.
You're not going to live there in the theater with these actors for the rest of your life.
But it was fascinating to me because it was still a packed theater where I was. And there was, behind me, a row of women. And then behind them, a row of probably like teenagers, I would guess.
Okay.
Now, the teenagers were laughing and they were loud and they were talking to each other. And the women that were sitting behind me were so violently shushing them that I was like, I don't know if this is the right thing to do.
Don't they have to know that, like, this is the way it's been in the theaters, especially with this film? Like, just, you know, take it into account and then just try and relax and enjoy yourself along with everybody else that's there.
The people that are talking or the people that are shushing?
No, the people that are shushing, because the point is that kids just are going to talk. They're teenagers. It's going to happen. And it's like an amusement park ride. Again, everybody's been waiting. Everybody's excited. If you want it silent, you're going to have to go back again when nobody's going.
I don't know if it's appropriate to shush people.
I think it's dangerous, frankly, at this point.
I was thinking about that, too.
I'm like, one of them teenagers pull out a switchblade. Anything could have happened.
I know. We've got to go dark.
You know, anything could have happened.
What if they just throw popcorn at them? Why didn't you think of that?
Well, that could happen, too. That brings on confrontation.
So I was trying to think about it. I was like, this is one of those situations where it's a wrong answer. Shushing them violently is only going to give them more fuel to talk during the movie, right?
Okay.
So what do you do? What do you do when you're in a movie theater or you're at a show or you're even at like a school play where your kids are performing? You've got the people behind you, the parents behind you, the students behind you, anybody that won't stop talking. What are the things you should do and what are the things you should not do?
Easy rules here for me. I'm going to pull out my phone and I'm going to play some classic video games right there and make everybody listen to it while I turn it on high volume. Here's the thing about teenagers. They don't know nothing about Super Mario, right? They know Mario Kart. That's it. They don't care. They don't want to hear this old stuff. They're going to be like, all right, boomer, get out of here.
Okay.
And then I'm going to be happy. See?
That's definitely a wrong answer.
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-330-9999. Wrong answers only. You're at a movie theater. The people behind you are super loud. What should you quote unquote do? But it's wrong answers only. So what should you not do? It's coming up next.
Thank you for that clarification.
Well, right. Oh, so much aggressive shushing. I've never seen anything like it. I went to the new Wicked movie, and there was a group of people that were so loudly talking, and then the women behind me were aggressively shushing them.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being real, I'm taking that all to management and asking them to do something about it, because I'm at that age right now where we write a letter to the editor.
No.
But
nobody writes a letter to the editor anymore.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what I would do. That would be my correct answer. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't expect anything to change.
Aggressive shushing when you're at a movie theater might not necessarily be the right thing to do. So, let's pile on. 1-800-330-9999. Wrong answers only. You're at a movie theater. Group behind you won't stop talking. What do you do? Rebecca, wrong answers only. What do you do when somebody keeps talking during a movie?
Noises, loud noises, because you're distracting me, and I might as well be a distraction also.
Give them a taste of their own medicine, although it might kick things off even bigger.
Well, that's a chance we'll take. They're talking, so, I mean, might as well go for the gusto.
Yeah.
Andrew, wrong answers only. What do you do when someone keeps talking during a movie?
Well, my cell phone works, so I just call 911 and let the cops listen to what's happening.
Right. You should inform them immediately. Yeah, let the authorities know that there is a person that is talking during Moana 2.
It is a crime.
What do you think is the worst call for a dispatcher? People are like, oh, the pizza place wouldn't bring me my pizza, or they screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard those calls where they just call over and over and over again until somebody shows up and arrests them.
I watched these two police officers this weekend, and they had this woman. And the woman was just sitting in a folding chair outside of a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking to her and standing there for an extended period of time. And it took every ounce of me not to go over and be like, so what's going on here, guys?
Right.
Because
let's
I was like,
out.
What is this woman doing? Like, she was just like a regular middle-aged woman sitting in a folding chair looking completely normal. And these
maybe
two
she's
cops,
been there for a week. You don't know.
I have no idea.
They're trying to make sure she's okay.
I mean, imagine getting a call from 911, and there's a woman just sitting outside in a folding chair, and you have to go figure out what's happening with this lady.
I mean, some Karen may have called for that. You know that, right? Like, I've seen this woman, and she's out there, and I just don't know if she's okay. They pull up, and she's like, what?
What I just like want? To sit here with my folding chair.
Right, it's my cigarette break. What are you doing?
I love the Marriott Bonvoy points. There I am.
Right.
Logan, wrong answers only. What do you do at a movie theater when somebody's being loud?
I turn around. And I asked them some questions about what they're talking about, because I really, really want to know.
Oh, really?
That's a good idea. Engage in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Be like, that is true. That is great. I found that to be hilarious myself also. And as a Capricorn, I can completely relate. Like, totally just overrule their conversation. I like that. Take it over with something incredibly boring.
Oh, boy. All right. Annabelle, how about you? Wrong answers only. What do you do at a movie theater when somebody's talking?
Okay, so if somebody's talking, what you do is you find the information they're talking about to find them on social media, and then based on who they're following, you find their mom, And then you go to White Pages account and you acquire her phone number. And then you call her and put her on speaker. And then you ask, is this the kind of person you raised?
Yeah.
What if they're 30?
Then you find, you gotta call, you still gotta call their mom.
Yeah, okay.
You gotta find the White Pages, though. It's gonna take you a while.
I was gonna say, right? Yeah. Didn't they get rid of those about 30 years ago? All right.
Remember phone books?
Oh, gosh. You know what I get still? They still drop off at my house. Not the phone books, but these huge shipping catalogs.
Oh.
Like, you know, if you register a business, they'll just send you mailers forever. And they're like, 8 pounds each one. It feels like such a waste.
I get it from Restoration Hardware. I bought my bedroom furniture there years and years ago. It's like the old Sears catalog. And I think to myself, this must have cost $100. And then I just throw it directly into the garbage.
Oh, then I got to live with that guilt.
Air travel is a miracle of American ingenuity. We build airports to launch a golden age of travel across the skies.
That was a real commercial that played a long time ago.
Can we know what a sexy experience air travel used to be, right?
Yes.
Pan Am and all those different, you know, flights that we'd see. People would get dressed up. They would smoke on the plane. That always struck me as odd. But well, but they would be out there. They'd be out there.
They didn't know back then.
Cocktails and nice food. Right. You know, cigarettes were good for you.
U.S. Department of Transportation has launched a campaign called The Golden Age of Travel Starts With You. And it wants people to be nice because it showed what travel was like in the old days with people getting dressed up and being a privilege to fly. And then they showed video, real video, of people going nuts. And the pan from all the footage that you see on Instagram and TikTok versus back in the day when people were dressed.
Yeah, people would treat each other with respect back then, too. But you know something, Anna?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this just isn't about rules. It's not just about being polite or kind. Maybe you've got to get yourself ready, get your mind in the right headspace before you even go there.
Well, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, he wants you to know.
Manners don't stop at the gate. Things aren't what they used to be. Some would call it the golden age of travel. Let's bring civility and manners back.
Bringing civility and manners back. That's what he's stressing. And
how do we do it?
Right. Well, there's a lot of ways.
Ask yourself, are you helping a pregnant woman put her bag in the overhead bin?
Helpful.
Are you dressing with respect?
Mm.
Are you keeping control of your children?
Probably not.
Are you saying thank you to your flight attendants?
Always.
And your pilots?
Yep.
Are you saying please and thank you in general? The golden age of travel begins with you.
It begins with you.
Listen, this might be unpopular. This guy may have offended a million other people in a million different ways. I'm sure he has, because that's how politics are nowadays. I think he's 100% right with everything that he's saying. Control your kids, dress like you're an adult, and treat people with respect when you go there, and we will all have a better experience. I think we're safer. I think we're safer because of it.
He continues on in a press conference that he did yesterday, because there was a lot of question about, like, what does dress to impress mean?
Yeah.
How do we, you know, maintain maybe some of that frustration we have as we travel this Thanksgiving season? I call this just maybe dressing with some respect, whether it's a pair of jeans and a decent shirt. I would encourage people to maybe dress a little better, which encourages us to maybe behave all a little better.
Uh-huh.
Let's try not to wear slippers and pajamas as we come to the airport.
It's true. I always get dressed up for the airport. And by quote, you know, there was like a big joke over, well, what's dressed up? Am I going to wear a tuxedo to the airport?
Shoes.
So I always wear jeans at minimum.
Okay.
Because I just feel like, one, I think sweatpants for some reason feels gross on a plane, and I can't understand why I think that, but it just feels yucky to me. Leggings, right. I feel like the dirt from the seat can penetrate through my leggings.
Gets on your leggings.
Right.
It stays
there.
It absorbs.
Right.
Okay.
So I have to wear actual pants because for some reason it can't go through the jean.
You know what? Just get dressed so that you can behave yourself. That's all.
It's true. I do think that there's something to this. At first I giggled because I'm like, good luck, Sean. Like, good luck with this. Then I started thinking about it. I'm like, it's true, because when you're dressed more appropriately and
you handle yourself differently.
And flights are expensive. It is a privilege to fly. And you should definitely be able to say, I'm doing something special today, and be proud that you're on that flight.
All right, you lost me at the end. Just dress like an adult and say please and thank you.
And don't wear sweatpants, because I think it seeps through into your body.
Well, we got that part.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy, but okay.
Imagine you have surgery on your spine where they go in through the front of your neck, and then you show up to work even though your doctor hasn't cleared you to, and then your wife wants to kill you.
Yeah, I got a real important job, you know, so I'm out here saving lives every day on the radio, so I had to make sure that I got back in here to hang out with you, you know?
Well, I'm
glad. Can't have you marrying Chef Plum. So, you know, had to show up, I guess, right?
You're ridiculous. All right. So
Raven, I got bored.
Raven is back. And the reason why you came back to work is because you were bored, even though you were not supposed to come back yet.
Well, here's the rules, man. Like, so my surgeon basically told me, like, I'm not supposed to do anything. And the way I remember the first time, I've had this surgery twice. The way I remember the first time, like, I had the surgery, and in my mind, I was, like, up and doing stuff. And I was not following all these different rules. And this time, it's a little bit different of a situation. You know, it feels differently in the body, and I'm a little bit older too, but at the same time, like, I feel active and ready to go on some aspects, some fronts right now, and he won't let me do anything.
Well, I would
argue, doesn't want me doing anything.
I would argue that you probably could have used a few more days at home, but what does your wife Alicia think about all of this?
Before I get to that, let me just tell you that the rules are this, is that, like, I'm not supposed to be lifting anything. I can't lift my dogs up. Like, the biggest thing I'm supposed to lift right now is, like, a gallon of milk, and if I lift it out of the refrigerator, I'm supposed to hold it to my chest after that and walk around with that.
I think I also need to paint the picture that Raven has a giant gash across the front of his throat.
Yeah, I mean, it's where they went in. There's an incision. It's not openly bleeding or anything right now at this point, but
thankfully.
But yes, it's there and it's healing up. Either way, I asked my wife, what was the hardest part about me being home with her over the last 10 days and her having to take care of me?
You not following the rules.
So being a bad patient.
Yeah, and you thought I made up those rules even though they came from your doctor. You were just always mad at me.
I remember my doctor telling me I could drive after a week for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I said, well, what if I go to work and I just stop every 10, 15 minutes on the way there and take a break? I'll leave like an hour earlier. And he was like, that's not a real thing.
Nope.
And that's not something that I'm supposed to do. I said, so after 2 weeks, then I'm clear to drive completely. He's like, that's not what I said. And again, I was on medication. So in my mind, he's like, yes, the head is going up and down the entire time. And she does not agree with that.
What's like a couple of examples of times that I didn't follow the rules?
Turning your head, bending over, trying to pick stuff up, all of them. I mean, all the rules. And then you wanted to drive a car.
Fixed your car.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I mean, why do you keep bending over when you're not supposed to?
I mean, you don't even think about the times you bend over. Anything you go to do, like I'm trying to squat so that it, you know, compensates so it's not stressing my spine. But sometimes by the end of the day, like, squatting is out of the picture. Like, you're tired at that point, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to bend over. You forget.
Oh, okay.
We did do a brake job on my wife's car while I was out.
What?
Also.
What?
Yeah, my buddy Steve. He's my hands this week. So Steve has been my hands all week.
So you just got your friend to come and bossed him around. So he did your wife's brakes while you stood there and supervised and bend over?
Well, that's what I was supposed to do. But, I mean, I did some assistance on that, too. That's what I helped her. But I had to ask her, too, because we are in love, Anna. And people should, you know, basically, you know, model their lives after my wife and I's even-keel, completely relaxed relationship that we have.
How about, what's the saddest part of me not being home now that I'm back?
Well, I did miss you today.
Did you?
Yeah.
I want you to know that before this part right here, when I asked her, I was like, you know what, babe? Like, let's just end this on a high note.
How about, what's the saddest part of me not being home now that I'm back?
That pause right there was like 30 seconds, but our producer cut it out because he was like, you know what? This is a radio show.
He had to think. She had to think for like a while.
She never said a word.
She's like, don't you have to go to work now?
Yeah.
Call Steve. Yeah, Steve's got to drive you now.
Steve's my hand. Yeah. He's my hands all week.
It's okay to be jealous of other people's jobs sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, some people have really, really, really cool jobs that you'd like to do.
Right. But you know what I've learned through the years is that it's always greener on the other side.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Yes.
Yeah, and it not just work. I mean, with all sorts of things.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. I love my job, but...
Yeah.
And this is your chance to vent about the things about your job that you aren't a big fan of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just not even the stuff with my job, but I love my job, but I'd rather be a rocket scientist. That's unrelated to my job. I mean, I love my job.
Yeah.
But, you know, that would have been fun. I also love my job, but you always know what I'm going to be wearing.
What do you mean?
I'm wearing an Ann and Raven sweatshirt right now.
What? But that has nothing to do with anything. No, I'm wearing a blazer like an adult.
Yeah.
But nobody tells but if, you to dress like a...
If I'm going somewhere and it's like, I'm going to be like, I'm Raven from the Ann and Raven show. They always want me to be wearing some sort of logo. So you know what I'm going to be wearing.
That's not a real thing.
No, it's a real thing.
This all comes up because tomorrow so many people are off for work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the day before Thanksgiving. So I know not everybody. I know not everybody.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where we don't get it off. But there's always a company email to everybody and it says, enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. And it's always
for
like,
those of you that are going to be leaving early.
You can leave early tomorrow.
Right.
You have your you know, they give your blessing, like go enjoy the holiday with your family if you want to leave by a certain time. And that doesn't apply to us.
Not ever.
And I always feel sad when I get that email. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I know that they get to leave early. It's just I get that my job is different than their job, but mm-hmm. I would also like an email giving me permission to leave early.
Yeah, we're not handling boxes. We're not pouring concrete.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not killing ourselves in here, right? Like, you know, we've got pressures, but they're not real ones. But, you know, those things are kind of a bum.
I love my job, but everybody thinks I only work 5 hours a day.
Yes.
That is a big one.
Oh, and I hate trying.
You get to leave early, right? You just do your show and you go. I wish that was a real thing.
There's a lot of work that goes into this. It's funny. You got real there for a minute.
Yes.
I love my job, but I resent the fact that every one of the shows that my friends would see me working, they were there hanging out, just having a good time, and I was working.
Oh, I have that, too. I love my job, but everybody thinks I just talk on the radio, and then I give away free concert tickets.
Right.
That's the extent of all I do.
And then we just hang out with rock stars or whatever.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. They bring us on stage for 5 minutes, and then they kick us out of the backstage area most of the time.
I love my job. Raven, but mm-hmm. my headphones constantly mess up my hair and I always look like a hot mess.
Yeah. I love my job, but my weekends are full. Your kids having a bar mitzvah, you know, nephews having a party or anything like that. Oh, there's going to be cake at your barbecue this weekend. Guess what? I won't be enjoying your ribs or your cake because I'm working.
I love my job, but the alarm clock is my sworn enemy. I just want to know what it's like to sleep every day to a normal time. I love my job, but I'm always tired. That's
I love my job. I used to be good looking, and look at what mornings did to me.
Oh, radio.
See that?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's rough.
You know, my favorite is the joke. I love my job, but when you say, oh, face for radio, hurts my feelings.
I don't like that one either.
No, I know.
That makes me so mad.
Okay, this is your turn to vent. You can call 1-800-330-9999. Tell us what your job is and then fill in the blank. I love my job, but... It's okay to vent. We were venting because everybody seems to be off tomorrow, the day before Thanksgiving, too.
Sure.
And it's like a ghost town around here. But we don't get to be off.
When you go outside, like with a job like this, an office job, it's almost like last day of high school, right? Mm-hmm. People are peeling out. There's smiles on their faces. The show goes on.
All right. This is your chance to vent. 1-800-330-9999. Sharon, you love your job, but what?
I love my job, but I hate the fact that there are several of us who do most of the work.
Oh, yeah.
And the other people don't do anything, and the bosses don't seem to notice that.
What do you do for work?
I work in a school
with
children.
Wow. You know, it's amazing to me, right? Because I think of the places that I've done that, Anna, where same thing. I felt exactly like you, Sharon, where it was like, I'm one of three or four people that are doing everything here, holding the place up. And nobody else is doing anything. And I think of a school as not being that place.
Every job has it. Every job has the people that do a majority of the work and the other ones just hold on. You're 100% right, Sharon.
It's so true. And the bosses know which ones are going to do the work. So they call on them to do more work.
Right.
And the other people are sitting in the staff room doing nothing.
That's called being the boss, right? You just have to get it done one way or the other.
Thank you, Sharon. Vanessa, you love your job, but...
I love my job, but 2 weeks ago, somebody handed me their poop.
No, unless you're a nurse that's collecting a specimen.
I mean,
that's not okay.
I work in child care.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I have 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to, you just have to take it at that point. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
You have to direct them to a place where they can drop it out of their hand, but the cleanup responsibility still becomes yours.
I hope you said thank you.
Kids, man.
Yeah. Stephanie, you love your job, but?
It's like in an ancient building, and there's a lot of weird stuff that happens, and I'm there early and late every day, and it's just too much.
love your job, but it's haunted.
It's haunted.
It's
haunted.
Yeah, completely haunted.
And I worked a couple overnights. You thought this place was haunted.
Oh, more than a couple overnights. I had a shift for a while that I worked overnights, and I was certain that this place was haunted, and I was the only one in the building. I would watch the clock spin.
Yes.
I would be in here, and all the lights would go out. I was like, am I willing to sacrifice my life for this job? The answer was apparently yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck, Stephanie.
Good luck, Stephanie. We hope you make it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gino, how about you? You love your job, but?
I need new coworkers. The guy who sits right next to me, his typing is just so loud. It just makes my teeth grind all day.
People around you, when they annoy you, or you don't like the people that you work with, but you like your situation, bad coworker can drive you out of your spot. Can drive you right out of your position, make you want to quit, make you want to leave, make you act a fool in front of your bosses, too.
Also, sometimes you just want to be alone. So, you know, I obviously love working with Raven, but we sit in the studio 6 feet away from each other for 10 hours a day. Sometimes I just want to be by myself, you know? Like, it's hard to have to share space with people constantly.
Imagine if you were in glass, but you were still in the same room.
Be so nice.
You know, you ever see like a drummer in an orchestra? Or they put it behind that glass wall, right? So that everybody doesn't disrupt each other. But then the sound is still amplified out there. What would that be like?
I wonder if we still have our COVID walls. I wonder if we get to
put them around you.
28% of people say they don't know how to cook a turkey. And I was like, I would think that number is so much higher. Because as somebody who's never had to cook for Thanksgiving, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
I fry a turkey every single year. I enjoy fried turkey. I also enjoy a baked turkey. Mm. The baked turkey would terrify me.
Yeah.
I would leave something out or add something too much or something. And flipping it, forget it. When you have to flip that thing, that is scary.
There's a bag inside.
It's scary.
What? So we asked a group of kids, how do you think you cook a turkey?
Put it in the oven. You set a time. Take it out. You eat it.
That's it. Three steps. Done.
I don't think that's turkey. Chicken breast, maybe.
In the oven, I put on bread around it.
Mm-hmm. This kid thinks she's hilarious. She's like, I put so much bread around it.
How many turkeys has she cooked?
I mean, I guess a lot.
900 turkeys.
She can't even get it out. She's like, I said bread around it. It's hilarious.
You put it in the oven, take it out, and stuff it with stuff. Stuffing and, like, vegetables and stuff, I guess.
I mean, not bad. Yeah.
No, that all does sound pretty good. That kid is yelling, though.
Right. He's like, oh, stuff it with stuff. Stuff. Some Matchbox cars. Got any Legos back there? Put it right in.
A sofa cushion.
Yeah.
You put the turkey in, like, a hot boiled water with stuff. I don't know what stuff, but, and then you,
This is the first child so far that I said that you have to boil the turkey, but she doesn't know what you boil it with.
Sounds like a stew.
Yeah.
Put it in the oven, and then you microwave it if somebody thinks it's cold, but, and then you put stuffing in it, and then you put gravy on it, and then you serve it.
She had you boil it, bake it, and then put it in the microwave, too.
Her parents are very concerned with cooking temperature, all right? They want to make sure that everything, any sort of bacteria, whatever, been cooked off. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's going to taste like, but salmonella is not welcome at this table.
No.
Oh, you give it some spice and you put it in the, you put it in the microwave. Or like spicy jalapeno. Spicy jalapeno spice.
She's like, we're going to put jalapenos all over this thing right here.
Wait till you see everybody's face change when they're surprised.
We put salt and pepper. We put it in the oven and we set it for a few minutes and then it's ready to eat. I'm saying like 15 or 20.
That's it. 15 to 20 minutes to cook a turkey seems like an appropriate amount of time.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Right?
And we don't have to wait all afternoon for it.
We had one holiday where my wife forgot to turn on the stove.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, she cried for 2 hours before we even resolved it.
You had a Black Friday turkey.
Oh, it was terrible. It was wonderful, I mean, darling.
San Antonio was just voted the best place in the country to celebrate Thanksgiving. And the big question is, why?
I mean, how does that take place? Good thing we know people, Anna Zapp.
From our sister radio station, 94.1, AJ Hoffman is joining us.
Yeah, AJ, how do you get a title like this? Because it's not anything that I would ever think of.
Well, it's a good championship to have, I must say.
I'm not really sure. I've got to admit, I am new here. I've only been here for 2 years. But there are some things that I think could have to do with this. For one, a lot of people here in San Antonio, Thanksgiving and Christmas, instead of turkey, they will do tamales for Thanksgiving. Hmm. The tamale sales spike dramatically around these holidays. And so maybe it's people are you eat turkey every year. It's the same old meal for Thanksgiving every year. Maybe spicing it up a little bit, making a little change to the diet. Maybe that's what people like about it.
Maybe. I mean, it sounds fantastic. I know that you don't know this, but I have the list of the reasons why it's so much greater than everybody else.
Don't tell them now.
I'm not going to tell them yet.
Lines up here.
Yeah, all right. So tamales, number one in America.
They sell a lot of tamales at that time. The tamales start moving at that point, right? The tamale economy comes to life.
There'll be 70, 80 people in tamale lines. And if you don't pre-order your SOL on these things,
Is it a Thanksgiving tamale? Is it? It's just a tamale.
50 different kinds of tamales. Right. Some of them have green chili in them, deer. Like, they get to do all kinds of things.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Variety of tamales, but Thanksgiving time at its prime. Got it.
All right.
I think maybe the key thing is, like, today it's 75 degrees outside. I don't know what it's like where you guys are.
Not that.
I'm guessing it's not 75. Like, I'm walking around in a t-shirt today. That's hard to beat in late November. And most people who are traveling to San Antonio are probably coming from someplace colder than that, unless they're coming from like Phoenix or Miami. Mm-hmm. They're probably traveling to a warmer place. So I think that makes the holiday a little more enjoyable for them. People like to be cold at Christmas. They like the white Christmas. But no one wants to be cold the rest of the time. You'd much rather just be hanging out. You want it to feel like football weather, and that's what it feels like.
You're like, this is tamale weather right here. If I've ever stepped off the plane and you're like, oh, my God. All right. That's a couple solid reasons, maybe based in fact, maybe completely not, but all right.
Am I close on this? What are the real results here?
Those were his main sticking points. I love AJ went to the lab, and that's what he came up with.
Right. He was like, these are the two reasons, tamales and our weather. I will tell you, you're 50% right.
He's what?
Okay. He's 50% right.
Okay.
So weather forecast on Thanksgiving Day is one of the reasons why San Antonio was named the best city in the U.S. to celebrate Thanksgiving. The other four reasons, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities to give thanks. There's the most charity organizations per capita.
Wow.
Safety.
Boring.
Right. He's like, I'd rather eat it, but okay. Right.
Safety. The crime rate, the road safety, and flight delays in traffic are all very low. So that's good.
Is that right? I thought it was
our airport is like it is the easiest airport in the country to get through. Like, for a city the size of ours, like San Antonio is one of the 10 biggest cities in the country. I go to the airport about 15 minutes before my flight, and I never have problems.
And people are like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yeah. That's crazy.
They're saying it's affordable. Price of Thanksgiving dinner, dining out, and hotel costs are cheaper than a lot of other places across the country.
Well, you hit the Motel 6 and you get a couple tamales, you're good. I mean, that's what,
all you need.
$60.
Mm-hmm. And celebrations and traditions. You have the most pumpkin patches per capita and holiday decor shops. Congratulations.
You didn't even mention pumpkins.
Mm.
I had no idea that was the case. I got to tell you, if they're not saying tamales, they're way behind. A grave misjustice, if that's what they think is important.
Well, thank God you're the ambassador.
I know. AJ, we hope you have the best Thanksgiving in the best city in the U.S. to celebrate San Antonio.
Don't be jealous, guys. Mm-hmm. Don't be jealous. I'm sure it's great where you guys are, too. I'm sure it is, with your dry-ass turkey, whatever you guys do. I'll be eating tamales. That's the living the life.
I'm thankful for your insight.
Yep.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about. Then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is presented by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status. Stephen and Tracy. Tracy, what's going on?
I don't drink alcohol, so every time my husband Steve and I go out, I end up driving, which is fine, but he kind of takes advantage of it and treats me like an Uber, and I'm really getting tired of it. I would like to not be the responsible parent all the time. He just doesn't seem to think that that's a big deal.
Steve's just like, drive me, lady.
Okay. Stephen?
Yeah, I mean, look, the way I see it, it's, you know, I'm not asking her to not drink so just so that I can. She doesn't drink. She's not going to anyway. So, I mean, I don't see what's wrong with me having a few drinks. It's not like I'm getting belligerent. You know, I'm just having a few drinks. She drives, and then we save money on an Uber. You know, we could go out and spend money on Ubers, but I feel like it's more financially responsible this way.
He's like, it's all built in. Why am I going to fight it?
Tracy, I honestly agree with him. Why are you, if you're not drinking, then what's the difference if you're driving?
Because it's always me. I never get a break. It's like I'm always the one who's finding the parking and taking care of all the logistics. And I feel like I'm babysitting. It's not fun for me. I would like to have as no responsibility as he feels.
I mean, you're still going to be there. And even if you weren't driving him, you'd have to be driving yourself, right? It's not like you want him to drive. I'm confused.
Tracy, is your problem that you don't want to drive? Or is your problem that you don't like that he gets to drink and loosen up and you don't? And you don't like what he turns into when he drinks?
It's not the best to take care of somebody. I mean, sometimes it's funny, you know, but it feels like I'm the one being responsible all the time. And that's what it's about, is that I feel like I'm being taken advantage of. It's like, if he doesn't like to do dishes, I'm the only one who's doing the dishes, so he doesn't mind using as many dishes as possible. It's inconsiderate.
All right. And Stephen, I mean, your wife is telling you she wants you to drive. She wants you to be responsible and maybe only have one drink or none.
I think that's what I'm hearing, is that she doesn't want you to drink, really. That's a different thing.
Why is that a problem?
I mean, for me, I'm the type, even if I have one drink and I have somebody who hasn't had any that's with me, if they can drive, I would appreciate that. I would not necessarily expect that, but I mean, it's just, I feel like, you know, if I'm getting belligerent drunk every night and making her drive, that's one thing. But that's not what's going on here.
If you don't drink and your spouse does, would you have a problem with always being the designated driver? Because Tracy does. She says that it's not fair that just because she doesn't drink and her husband Stephen does, that every time they go out, he automatically assumes that she's going to drive.
Yeah, I mean, but if she doesn't drink and he has a drink, then it makes sense for her to drive. And it's not just financial, right? Like, I'm the person that's sitting across from you at the restaurant. Maybe I'm here for a drink. Maybe I'm here for a steak. Either way, I don't want him driving if there's a choice between one person who had a drink and one person who didn't.
The chivalry, though, Raven. You gotta. It's not fair.
I mean, she still took herself to the restaurant, right? If she went to the restaurant with her girlfriend, she'd have to get home somehow, wouldn't she?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Crystal, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. You know, I don't think he's pulling his weight in the house, so let's do a little compromise, and he could do a little more, and I don't feel, you know, her driving is really that big of a deal, but if she feels that way, her feelings have to be validated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Crystal.
I think that's real.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. How would you feel if you were always the designated driver because you didn't drink in a relationship? Because Tracy is not happy about it. The couple's court verdict is powered by Cricket Wireless. Cricket Wireless got you a gift. It's a free phone. Switch today and get a single line for $35 plus a free Moto 5G. Smile, you're on Cricket.
You know, I think that this really comes down to, for Stephen and Tracy, it's not necessarily about the fact that she's driving them whenever they go out. It's the fact that she doesn't drink and he still has a drink or two, and that's a problem.
What do you think? Is she overreacting? 1-800-330-9999. Kathy, whose side are you on?
Oh my gosh, I'm on her side, because as a recovering alcoholic of 34 years, I only have one, and I don't get belligerent. That sounds a lot like denial. Like, why don't you say, I'm sorry, babe, I won't drink, and I'll drive for the next 6 months, since you've been doing it for the last 6 years. What I hear all over his story is denial, minimizing, and this is not really a problem. Like, I don't get belligerent. What kind of... Is that what you say to your wife? That's my badge of honor?
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bill, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the husband's side. I think it sounds like it's more to this than just her driving, because if I go out with somebody and they know I drink and they don't drink, of course they're going to drive.
Right.
If she's going there anyway, she's going to drive, get home anyway. So it's more than this. It's it's something different. She seems like she's uptight. Like, she don't get to drink and she don't get to have fun. She's just the Uber driver. Well, stay home. Let him drive with somebody else.
I mean, I don't know that it makes her uptight, but it seems like possibly that this is a lifestyle argument. This is not an argument about whether or not she wants to drive. It's maybe she's made some changes in her life and it doesn't match up with how he lives at this point. I don't know.
Mm.
Right?
Exactly. That's what I meant to say, not uptight. I meant to say like that right there.
Bill, we heard you, Bill.
I feel you, man. I feel you.
Thanks
for the call. Have a great day.
Jim, what do you think?
As is, I'm kind of on her side. However, I'm a designated driver all the time, and I feel good about driving other people so that they can, you know, relax and have some wine. But as is, I think that he should reciprocate and make it up to her. You know, he should be doing the dishes. He should be doing other things to make up for this. I think maybe he should do some more.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Have a great day.
I just want to go on record that if my husband says I will clean the toilets if you drive tonight, I am okay with that.
You drive every time.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're sober, you're driving anyways.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Steven, our audience agreed with you today. Tracy, if he wants to have a couple drinks and he's out and he's responsible and doesn't believe in driving, why would you not want to save the money and just drive home? I could understand maybe you're just unhappy with him drinking, but the audience thought that you got to loosen up a little bit. Just drive the car home.
I mean, it's one or the other, basically. It's the drinking or the driving that you're upset about. This one doesn't hold up.
Well, if people are drinking, then that makes sense. But if you really want to save money, don't go out drinking. It costs a fortune to drink out in restaurants and bars these days.
So again, though, that's a different argument. I mean, if you just want to stop going out and you want him to stop drinking, then, you know, bring that argument next time.
I mean, if money is the concern, save a lot more if he doesn't drink.
Yeah, but if he's going to, the issue here is safety, and it's always safety for him, for you, for all of us.
Yeah.
Look, I think this was a rational thing here. However, I mean, at the end of the day, it is probably better to not go out so often. So that's something we can consider. But I don't think this was the issue here.
Yeah, I agree. But we wish you the best. And if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $3,400. Let's do this. Nick and Julie, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Sure. Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Nick.
Thanks.
$3,400 on the line. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Raven's walking out of here. He's walking down the hallway, and the door has closed. He can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Ready.
Number one, Macaulay Culkin once did a stunt on The Tonight Show where he let the public vote on a new middle name for him. They went with Macaulay Culkin, so his legal name is now Macaulay Culkin Culkin. He famously plays Kevin McAllister in what holiday classic?
Home Alone.
Number two, All I Want for Christmas Is You returned to the Billboard Hot 100 earlier this year, earlier than ever by mid-November. It's sung by the Queen of Christmas. Who's that?
Mariah Carey.
Number three, the cast of Everybody Loves Raymond reunited for a 30th anniversary special last night. Ray Romano was the star actor, but what was Raymond, the character's last name on the show?
Barone.
Number four, 40% of people think that green bean casserole shouldn't be on Thanksgiving tables. What brand of crispy fried onions traditionally tops it?
Oh, French's.
And number five, a rare number one Superman comic book, like the first one ever, was found in an attic and set a record sold at auction for over $9 million this week. What newspaper does Clark Kent work for?
Oh, The Daily Planet.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
5 out of 5 for Nick.
Get out of here. Are you serious? Here we go. Could be your money.
I think it is because I don't think you know number three. Number one, Macaulay Culkin once did a stunt on The Tonight Show where he let the public vote on a new middle name for him. Mm. They went with Macaulay Culkin, so his legal name is now Macaulay Culkin Culkin.
Okay.
He famously plays Kevin McAllister in what holiday classic?
That's in Home Alone.
Yes. Number two, All I Want for Christmas Is You returned to the Billboard Hot 100 earlier than ever this year. Mid-November, it was number one. It is sung by the Queen of Christmas. Who's that?
That's easy. Mariah Carey.
Yep. Number three, the cast of Everybody Loves Raymond reunited for a 30th special anniversary last night.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't watch it.
Ray Romano was the star actor. But what was Raymond, the character's last name on the show?
his actual name in the show.
The character's last name.
All I want to know is how you're going to spend that $3,400.
Congratulations, wow. Nick. The one thing I knew is that he had never watched Everybody Loves Raymond. You won. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's an impossible question for me. What was the last name?
Barone.
Well, I'll remember it next time because I got a friend named Barone.
Yeah.
So that's wow. What are you going to do with that money?
Go to lunch.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Right. All right. Well, let's finish this up. 40% of people think green bean casserole shouldn't be on Thanksgiving tables. What brand of crispy fried onions traditionally tops it?
French's.
Yes.
And if you're not bringing green bean casserole, what's the single dad going to bring? Come on, divorcees.
Number five, a rare number one Superman comic book that was found in an attic set a record and sold at auction for over $9 million.
Wow.
What newspaper does Clark Kent work for?
He works for the Daily News, Daily Planet.
Daily Planet. Doesn't Excuse matter me. Because Nick just won $3,400 and he's going to have a really good lunch. Congratulations,
yes.
Nick.
It's Nick and I just beat Raven.
Lobster and crab for everybody. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.